Has anyone picked up on the theme with the songs that we've had so far and with what's on the screen now and with the scripture reading, I must say? So thank you, mother and daughter, for helping out with our scripture reading and prayer today. So yes, on the way is what I've just titled the sermon, but I guess that could mean a couple of different things, couldn't it? That we're on the way, a sort of progression towards, on the way as though maybe we're catching up, we're kind of lagging behind a little bit, we're on our way, we're hurrying to catch. Yes, indeed, the kind of loose connection, walking the way. Well, I hope that by the end of my reflections, you'll have a better idea of what was kind of mulling through my head in preparation for today. Has anyone heard of someone called Monty Roberts? Anyone heard of Monty Roberts? Yeah, we know maybe of other Montys. Monty Don, if you're into flowers and gardens and all that kind of thing. But Monty Roberts is a horse whisperer. Ah, had you heard of it now? Yes. Katrina was trying to get the kids to put their hands up every time I said horse. There we go. Because I said that we were going to have about animals during the sermon as well. So every time I talk about horses, then others maybe putting their little ones are going to put their hands up. So Monty Roberts is a horse whisperer. And what's a horse whisperer? He talks to animals, in this case horses, in a way that helps their healing and well-being. The way that I've come across Monty Roberts, and you can get onto YouTube later and have a little look. It is quite fascinating, and I'm sure it's the same with other people, with other animals and so on. But Monty Roberts has this way of trying to connect with horses. And it was always the kind of way of training these animals as though you've got to be show them who's boss. And whether that means actual inflicting something on the animal or whatever, it was always about who is boss, and we've got to make sure that you as a horse knows that you are subservient to your boss. But along comes Monty Roberts. I'm sure he wasn't the first person that ever did this kind of thing. And if you watch some of his videos, you will find that it doesn't take long for him to be in the presence of what they call a wild horse, untamed horse. And first of all, we have this scene of this ring. There's no corners here, not like a boxing ring, a ring. And in comes the horse, and Monty's already standing there. And the horse comes in, and he stops and sees Monty. So what's going on? And Monty just walks around. And wherever Monty comes close to the horse starts moving in a circular rotation. And Monty has this kind of rope or a leather strap there, and he just uses this not to make contact with the horse as such, but he just throws it behind the horse and winds it up, and the horse starts running, and he's watching. And he throws it behind the horse again, and the horse keeps running. And then he tries to get the horse to turn direction. So he faces the opposite way that the horse is going, and he throws this corded strap in front of the horse, and the horse turns around. What is the horse learning? The horse is learning, he's not going to hurt me. he's safe. And bit by bit, after this kind of action and an interaction, suddenly at the right time, and this is the work of an expert in minutes, I'm sure it would take me days, but at the right time, suddenly Monty, still holding this strap, would turn about 45 degrees away from the horse. So if you were all a horse, you kind of turn like this. Not fully away, but just so that he could see the horse. And then he would start walking, turning, still staying about 45 degrees, walking around. Bit by bit, he would start walking closer, closer to the horse. Just turning, keeping that bit of a distance. The horse would be watching. Until eventually, he could reach out and just touch the head, just above his nose, just touch the head of the horse. This horse that had come galloping in before, within minutes, is suddenly standing there in front of Monty. And he does some other actions with the horse and eventually gets a whole bridle on him and so on. But just at the right time, before he does that bridle thing, Monty, having made contact with the horse, turns to walk away. And now the horse has two options. Does it stay where he was and ignore Monty completely? Or does he go after Monty? Monty's safe. I can trust Monty. He's okay. And it's amazing to see a wild horse get to this point so quickly with Monty. There's the experience with him obviously coming through. But there is an action that the horse will give to indicate that I trust you. You know what that action is? The horse will drop its head, lower it down, and walk towards Monty. I trust you. I trust you because of your interaction with me. I see you as someone safe. I believe that that's the way that God tries to interact with us. God doesn't want to enforce his will on us, to take over our lives, that we have lost trust, we've lost control, but we just have to be subservient. God wants to build that trust and then invite us. Do you want to come my way? And then the choice is ours. But first, we must be ready to go Jesus' way, a new way, a reformed attitude that we need to adopt. And then going on that path, he leads us through and to new things. We start off like that horse. A little bit wild, going our own way. Got our own purposes. This is our plan, God. You've given me life. Thanks for that. Right, this is what I want to do. But what if God is saying to us, do you want to come my way? I know a better way. Will we be like that horse and drop our head and say, I trust you. I'm ready to come after you. We had in our scripture reading, I know it might have taken a few people by surprise, I've had the last couple of months some rather long scripture readings, kind of chunks of chapters, haven't I? And now we've just got one verse. Not that I saw this in anyone's face, but it suddenly recalled in my mind. I preached somewhere once, some years ago, and this service, they ushered me. They were in rented accommodation, so I thought everything seems to be expedited. Must be because they've got to be out by a certain time. And they got me into the corridor, which doubled as the vestry, and they said, Pastor, we need to be on time. I thought, okay, they need to be out. They said, we want to make sure you have a full hour to preach. Don't worry. Okay. I worried then. I thought, you should have told me that before I came. And I remember after about 40 minutes, I kind of stretched things out a little bit. I knew the content of what I was speaking about. And there was these two little kids, second row, doing colouring in or whatever it was that they were doing. And I finished, and they were kind of like little meerkats. Kind of like, what? You done? you might be like meerkats in a few minutes. But to work with this idea of the way and going the way of God, going the way of Jesus, his invitation to us, like Monty, do you want to come this way? There is no enforcement, but there is an invitation. The way we might think of, as we have been reading our way through Acts this last year and a half or so, now we're done. Whew. At least Nathan's finished that one. But I hope that in that journey, you got this idea of other people, inviting other people. Come the way of Jesus. But these people were sometimes known as the people of the way. The people of the way. The way of Jesus. So the way could be like a name. That's the name of their group. Do you want to be in my gang? My gang's called The Way. But I want to suggest to you, as others have, that The Way, when we go The Way, isn't just a name, isn't just a noun. It is a verb. It is an action. There is something that we need to do if we say that we want to follow after Jesus, that will provoke us to some kind of interaction. Jesus said to certain people, follow me. What did he say with those two words, follow me? Down by the lake shore, Peter and Andrew, and I will make you fishers of men. What was the first part of that invitation? The two words? Follow me. So there is this action, this movement towards Jesus. The verb. Follow me. To be a follower of Jesus isn't just to acknowledge something. Isn't just to say, oh yeah, I'm part of that group. There is a motion. To follow after Jesus isn't to get all our ducks in a row first. To follow after Jesus isn't to know everything that we need to know first. It's to get to that point of dropping our head like Monty's horses and saying, I get it enough that I'm willing to trust you to start that journey. Follow me. And then what's the next part of that phrase? And Jesus will. Jesus will. If there are changes that are needed in your life, who's going to do it? Jesus will. If there's a new direction that God wants to take you in your life, who's going to do it? Jesus. God will take you in that direction. What we need to do first is not worry about the direction and worrying about getting our stuff together. We just need to follow. and Jesus will do the rest. He will show us the way. Follow me, I will make you. Well, what God will make us is his concern. But to those fishermen, he used that analogy. I will make you fishers of men. Where does it start? Do we need to learn about fishing? No. Do we need to work out what it is that God wants to do with us? No. What do we need to start with? Follow me. Follow me. To follow is to go the way of Jesus. To say, I know that I've got some things that I'd like to do, but I accept that you know the best path. You know what needs to happen next. You know the changes that need to happen in my life. You know the people that you have lined up for me to have a conversation with. You know the people that are around me that are just desperate for me to reach out and help them. To follow is an action. To go on the way is an action. You know that follow word? Do you know in the Greek where it comes from? Because I know that some of you do speak other languages. I kind of struggle with my biblical languages. I kind of have to do a lot of book work to look things up and double check stuff. But to follow, as we often have it translated, the word follow comes from the Greek root word meaning road. So as we kind of look at that translation, we can easily get some things lost. But where Jesus says, follow me, he says, come on my road. Come my direction. To follow is to share that same road with Jesus. This new road, not going off on your own path. To road with Jesus. There's a an African phrase that, or a question really, about will you walk with me? And again, we can kind of get that lost in a translation, but so I read that the meaning of that invitation, that question, isn't just sort of, will you come down the garden path with me? It's, will you do life with me? Now, I'd love to know if that's really true from anyone that would really know, but that's what I read. Will you do life with me? That's the invitation that Jesus has. And to flip that question and situation round, it's essentially Jesus saying, I would like to do life with you if you want to do life with me. Walking with Jesus, though, sometimes might be a stroll. Sometimes it's a saunter, sometimes it's a stagger, sometimes it's a wander, and on the thesaurus goes. Sometimes it's a trudge. Where are you at with your walk with God? Is it more like a limp or a hobble or a stagger? We don't have to get our theology right. We don't have to get our act together. We don't have to worry about all the other stuff that we've burdened our lives with in order to get right with God. God's going to do that in his time. His first invitation was, follow me. In that scripture reading, what did we get? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not talking about the truth and life, though they are important, and that would be interesting to dig into that right now, but I'm leaving that at the moment, because before we get into the truth, the whole theology and the life that we may be thinking of heaven, we want that final destination. Before we get to the final destination, what do we need to do? We need to follow the road. We need to walk the walk. I am the way. It's a verb. It's an action. When we go Jesus' way, there is a change of life, a change of direction, both in our intention and God working in us. We don't change anything or learn something new without being exposed to it, do we? So Sharon's been very ably playing the piano for us with our songs. I can't play like that. But if I wanted to, what would I need to do? I'd have to practice and start with something simple and keep practicing and keep going and going. You know, we don't understand the things that we want to learn unless we sit down and learn them. We're not going to get that connection with Jesus just by, we're hoping for our destination, but we're not bothering with Jesus during the journey. Remember, Jesus said there will come a time at the end, all those people that were expecting the destination, the end of time, time of judgment and so on, there will be some. Can you finish off the story? There will be some who say, but Lord, Lord, didn't I? And what's that painful response that Jesus gives? But I never knew you. You didn't want to journey with me. We didn't get to know each other. It's all about that first step, going the way of Jesus, to following after him with our whole heart. We sing this song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Anyone like singing that song? That was nice, wasn't it? Been a while since I've sung that. Just a Closer Walk with Thee. It's not just a closer stay with Thee. It's not motionless. A walk with Jesus is to do life together. And Jesus says, I want you to come my way, and I want to journey with you. There is a Hebrew word. I've dipped into the Greek. Now we're going to go into the Hebrew. Lech lecha means to go forth. And you'll get this reference, for example, in Genesis 12, verse 1. Anyone that knows Genesis well enough, oh, that must be about Abraham. Yes, it is. And what does God say to Abraham? Beginning of chapter 12. He says, go this way. Well, in fact, let's have a little look. What is it that I normally say? Don't believe it just because the preacher says it. So turn your Bibles. Turn your Bibles. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Go to. Lech lecha. There is a departing of the old and a going towards the new. Being a follower of Jesus isn't staying where you are at. It's going to a new place. Jesus said, follow me, to Peter and Andrew by the sea, to Levi as he sat in the tax booth. Peter and Andrew, did they stay by the sea? No. They got up and moved. Levi in the tax booth, did he stay in the tax booth? No, he got up and moved. What about the inquirer who came to Jesus and says, oh yes, but let me do this, that and the other first. And Jesus says, well, let the dead bury the dead. Kind of sounds a bit flippant, and there's probably a whole other sermon in that. But if you want to come after Jesus, you've got to change something. Don't stay as you were. What about the rich young ruler that Jesus said, well, if you really want to come after me, what was his advice? Yeah, get on eBay, sell everything you have, and then come after me. Yeah, well, maybe he got a £1 deal on eBay at the time, sold it cheaper. Doesn't matter. Get rid of everything. Leave what you have had, the security and the wants of your own, and come after me with your whole heart. To follow Jesus is to be like Monty, to be like that horse following Monty, to say, I trust you. I don't know where this is going to go next, but I trust you, and I want to journey with you. There is another Hebrew word that's used to refer to all of the Jewish law and customs and traditions and so on. And that word is halakha. Halakha is the law, tradition, everything. But it isn't just a word that means this body of information, this rules and regulations, because it itself comes from a root word meaning going. Going. So halakha is the way to go. The way to go is to follow after the instructions of God. To say, yeah, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I don't want to be a wild horse. I want to come after you, Jesus, because I trust you. Matthew 28, Jesus received the worship of those people who met him on a mountain. And I know that I've referenced Matthew 28 right at the end lots of different times in different ways. That was when, though they worshipped, it says some doubted. Jesus didn't deal with their doubt. He just said, now I've got an instruction. In your going, make disciples, baptize people, and continue to teach. And then what does he say right at the end? And I am with you. When we say we want to be on Jesus' way, we want to journey with Jesus, we can be assured that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us on this journey. So the question is, whether you've made this decision some time before or still struggling with it right now, wherever you're at, you can journey with Jesus from that point onwards. Do you want to journey with Jesus again today?